There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Benched with Bubba. This is episode 16, and I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that got to join me, or I was privileged to have joined me on my very first episode of Benched with Bubba. Many know him from the awesome episodes of last year's Talkin' Chalk, him in his wooden chair, which you will not see in the episodes anymore, the one and only Rome. You can find him on Twitter at Rome Shots. Rome, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on again on a Bench with Bubba. You know, I was getting a little concerned. I thought that I had been sent to the bench because it had been so long since I'd been invited back. So I wasn't sure, I wasn't sure what had happened. But anyways, I'm happy to be here. And happy new year, guys. 2017, the year of the D-Gen is upon us. So let's get right to it.
Now, there's always room for Rome on Bench with Bubba. There will be more times for Rome on Bench with Bubba. I need my daily fix of Rome. So I was thinking of you the other day, and what better time than now to have Mr. LA on than the news of LA getting their second sports team, the San Diego Chargers. Last time we talked, it was, I think, was really the Rams were fresh in the back of your mind, and you're happy, you're pumped. Now the Chargers are coming to town. What are the thoughts? What's going on in the mind of Rome and the Chargers coming to town?
Well, guys, you know, it's just madness out here in La La Land. It's just, it's just too much to comprehend. You know, the honeymoon is over for the Rams. It was fun the first couple of weeks. I actually found myself going to my first Rams game at the Coliseum. It was a ton of fun if they didn't get shellacked by the Bills. Unfortunately, I got to see Tyrod Taylor run a clinic on us, and you know that was interesting. But you know, it was cool to see a professional football game in LA, something I'd never seen before this season. So you know, that being said, that was cool, and I'm glad and I'm happy to have the Rams. You know, here in LA, I had adopted them probably about 3 years ago when I was still living back in Santa Barbara. I had a feeling they were going to be coming here to LA. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I think we all saw the writing on the wall. You know, I think that we all knew that the Chargers were going to have a hard time staying in San Diego at that decrepit old stadium that is Qualcomm. You know, I think politics-wise, I think it all came down to could the Chargers get a new stadium deal done in time? And unfortunately, they could not. You know, I think Dean Spanos and a lot of the other guys saw obviously the value of the LA market, you know, coming up north. So, you know, lo and behold, it's funny because I love listening to LA Fox Sports Radio. They got a couple local, great local radio hosts and shows. And actually one of them is Going Rogan with Fred Rogan. And he actually has a show with Eric Dickerson, formerly of the LA Rams, you know, back in the '80s. And they straight called it. They called it like probably 2 or 3 months ago. They were the first ones to break that the Chargers are for sure coming to LA. It just took a few months, but obviously, you know, the news broke last week or 2 weeks ago. And, you know, so here we find ourselves, you know, now not only having the Rams, but the Chargers are going to be in the mix next year. They're going to be playing, I believe it's in Carson, California, which is at least, you know, temporarily to start. I believe the stadium doesn't hold more than 30,000 people. So that's kind of a joke in a way, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. But yeah, man, we're, you know, hey, LA, we got two football teams now, and, you know, we're going to see what other dominoes happen to fall in the state of California for football.
Now, you said you adopted the Rams, and, you know, they have a culture of losing. You have Jared Goff, who was the number one pick, showed, I guess, a little bit of life at the end of the season, but I tried telling people, was he worth the number one pick? Probably not. Can you blame it on him? No, that offensive line is horrific. He doesn't really have any weapons. You can't blame everything on the kid. But is he that good? Probably not. But what I want to know from Rome, now that you have another team to choose from in your backyard, are you still staying Rams? Or are you going to go for the Bolt? Are you going Chargers?
Well, I'm still going to stay Rams for the time being. I know that I was joking around on Twitter saying, hey, guys, I'm jumping ship. I'm going Bolts. Look out. I'm going to tell you exactly why I think that the Rams are going to be able to turn around. It might take a couple of years, you know, and when I say a couple, I mean probably three, maybe four even. But, you know, I do think that we can get back to, you know, really being a smash mouth football team, you know, to putting on a good product for the consumers of Los Angeles, you know, for a lot of the fans that have been waiting patiently. I mean, the Chargers have been in Southern California. They've been in San Diego. It's not like they haven't been here for a long time. And they've been, you know, they've had their moments where they've been exciting. They've had their moments when they've been really disappointing. You know, I still remember when Rivers and Tomlinson, I think it was Tomlinson, when they lost to the Jets. They lost to Mark Sanchez when he was his first year quarterback season in the playoffs in the AFC. I think it was the divisional. And I was just like, I had so much money on that game. I was so pissed off. You know, so the Chargers are always going to be the Chargers. They're going to break your heart. They might be exciting. They might have some good seasons. But, you know, I think that L.A. is the right market for both teams. You know, I think for me, you asked about Jared Goff. You know, I think his ceiling is honestly going to be like a Matt Ryan type quarterback. I think if he can work on his offensive game, you know, he's not going to be like a Tom Brady or like a Ben Roethlisberger, you know, in terms of being clutch. He's already shown that. I think that if he was, he would have already proven himself on the field. He would have won a couple of games, maybe from come behind fashion. But, you know, I think he's got good mechanics, that he's going to put on some weight. You know, he's going to work and improve. And, you know, I really think that he could be as good as a Matt Ryan. You know, you get him with the right offensive coordinator, you get him the right guys, you put a plan in place, and I don't see why he wouldn't be able to succeed. And to tell you the truth, I'm extremely happy, actually, with a couple of the moves that the Rams have already made. They fired Jeff Fisher, thank God. You know, they hired a young, high-character, you know, high-integrity guy in Sean McVay. They got Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator, which is tremendous. You know, you saw what he did with the Broncos last couple of years. He turned that defense into one of the greatest defenses I've ever seen. And obviously, you need to have the players. You know, you need to have some guys. But they have some guys on defense. They have Aaron Donald. You know, they got Robert Quinn. They got a pretty good line. So if we can, you know, if we can continue to, you know, to make the most out of our draft picks. And unfortunately, they kind of messed that up when they traded up for Goff. They gave up way too many draft picks. So that's what I'm saying. It's going to take a couple of years. It's not just going to be like, oh, next year, or like in 2 years, probably going to take 3 to 4 years. But you know, again, I'm going to stay true to the Rams. My first name is Roman, and I was partly named after LA Ram quarterback Roman Gabriel back in the day in the 70s. And he was, he was a decent quarterback, but he was a good guy. He was a solid dude. So there you go.
There you go. Well, then you got to stick with him. I didn't know that tidbit. There you go. Learning something right there. You got to stick with him if that's what you're named after. That's gold right there. You hit on something I want to talk about right there. The new head coach, he's 30 years old. When I was 30 years old, which I'm not that much older than that, but when I was 30 years old, I didn't dream of being the head coach of an NFL team. That'd be pretty darn cool, to tell you the truth. But, sure, he was a pretty darn good offensive coordinator. He's got guys like Kirk Cousins running a pretty successful, high-powered offense, putting up points in D.C. I think hiring a very successful veteran defensive coordinator like Phillips, like you said, is great. They do have the pieces in play there. And they are in a very mediocre, at best, division. You got the very bad Niners, and they have a long, long ways to go. They are a disaster. They're in my backyard, and it's a mess. You were just up this way. You probably heard people talking about it. Not good. The Cardinals, they have some pieces, but their good pieces are getting old. So they're going to have to do some rebuilding. And then the Seahawks, they have a lot of question marks besides, you know, you got Wilson and Baldwin and a couple other pieces. Their big go-to is the defense, and that's starting to kind of either get old or get injured, and I don't know how much longer that's going to be their staple. So you might be onto something there. It might take a few years, like you said. But what I did want to know is, what are the rumblings in the L.A. area on McVay and the outlooks of this young 30-year-old, the youngest coach in NFL history? What are they saying in the L.A. area on McVay as the head coach in L.A.?
Well, it's only been a few weeks, you know, since the hire was announced. So I think L.A. is still trying to gather our opinions. I think we're still talking about it. We're still trying to feel it out. But, you know, obviously the first take reaction is like, whoa, even your guy Rome is older than this guy Sean McVay. I'm 31, about to turn 32, and I could be out there coaching the Rams. Like, literally, like, I could be out there coaching the Rams.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, this is unprecedented. It's no doubt. But you know what? I like that. I tell you what, I like that. I like that we're making aggressive moves that are, you know, a little flashy, that we're, you know, just, it keeps us relevant. It's, yeah, I mean, obviously we still suck for now, but at least they're making moves that are, you know, they're not afraid to make moves. They saw something they liked in this guy. You know, obviously, just like you said, he made Kirk Cousins look like a very decent quarterback. Kirk Cousins should be, you know, taking him out for a lot of dinners because Kirk Cousins is about to get a nice payday because of him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, listen, you know, high ceiling. I mean, I would say still Matt Ryan is going to be kind of that ceiling comparison for Jared Goff. But, hey, listen, if he could play like Kirk Cousins did the last 2 years, I would be absolutely thrilled with that. Yeah. But you know, their biggest problem, the Rams' biggest problem, is not necessarily the quarterback or the lack of quarterback play. It's just the offense in general. The line is an absolute mess.
Yep.
There's no weapons. There's no receivers.
Yep.
Todd Gurley, which, you know, who's shown he can be a great running back and has shown that in his first year that he can definitely play. I don't know what happened to him this year. He was absolutely gone. And I just, you know, I don't know if that's just part of all the negative energy and some of the toxicity that, you know, that this year actually, you know, obviously turned into. I don't know if it was Jeff Fisher just completely blowing it. I don't know if it was the previous offensive coordinators, but the one thing I do know is that he has not been the same. So if they can, you know, again, if they can figure it out, and if it's going to take a young guy like Sean McVay to get to know people, you know, to be like that player's coach, so to speak, you know, to figure out, you know, who's best at doing what, you know, basically manage the talent around him and put him in the best place to succeed, then absolutely, I'm all for it. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, and you know, a 30-year-old head coach with a young quarterback might be the best thing that they could relate to each other and maybe get them on the right path. Might be a new wave of the future type movement there. Not the worst thing to try because, yeah, it's a mess, but it'll be interesting to see how it comes together. I'm curious to watch it unfold because now they do have competition because you guys have had a pro team for a while. You've had the Trojans there, and they're going to be good. I didn't put this on the outline, but we can get to them later because the last time you guys did have a young head coach in the area was way back when they hired Pete Carroll for the Trojans. Yeah. He was really young when they hired him, and that worked out really well in the LA area. And people grasped and went around him and accepted him. Things worked out well there. So we'll see how that goes.
Bubs, I did want to mention one thing really quickly before we move on. I was listening to Fox Radio today, and they actually had the Fred Rogan show with Eric Dickerson on. And Eric Dickerson actually called a friend to be on the show so guess who this was? This was the one and only Daryl Green from the Washington Redskins. Great defensive back, played over 20 years in the league, ran a 4.3 40 when he was 50. Guys, look it up in case you haven't seen or heard about that. That's the guy, right there. So Daryl Green was actually preaching for Sean McVay. He said he knows him very well. He said he's talked to him several times. He said he's a high character guy. He's a high integrity guy. He is somebody who's coming off of you know, working with Kirk Cousins, and obviously we see what he's done, been able to kind of coach and develop him. So I just wanted to say, you know, if he's got Daryl Green's endorsement, a lot of us probably don't know who Daryl Green is. You know, he's a few generations back, but it's a solid dude. So, you know, that's good. It's good news.
No, that's big. That's very true. That's a good point. That's why we got you on, Rome. You got the pulse of the LA area. Little things like that. Yeah. You mentioned the little stadium the Chargers are going to. Now, you said you got to go watch a game in the Coliseum with the Rams. I drove down there and watched the Dolphins' majestic comeback in the rain. The Coliseum, I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. I was very excited to see it because of the history, and there's a ton of history there, but it's a dump. It was designed so long ago. It was designed so poorly. You can't move through the place. It was just everything about it. But it's still – it's a great – like, the history is great. I love everything about that. But at the same time, at least it seats a decent amount of people. But they never sell it out. The Chargers are going to go play where the LA Galaxy plays, and it seats 30,000 people. First, do you think they'll sell out all their games?
Will they sell out all their games? I think they'll sell out the first six games. I've been to the Home Depot Center. I've been in Carson. I've seen the LA Galaxy play before. It's not a terrible stadium. It's small, obviously, but you know, it's newer. It's I was there twice. Maybe I don't remember how the design, you know, compares to the Coliseum or a lot of these other new stadiums. But I think Carson is good because it's not too far away. It's a little bit south of LA. It's not halfway between San Diego and LA, but you know, it's a little closer. So yeah, there's going to be fans driving up from San Diego. There's going to be other folks that are Chargers fans that live in LA, live in Santa Barbara, live in Ventura County, ones that want to come down and see them. So yeah, they'll probably sell out. If they do well, then yeah, they could probably sell out the entire year. 30,000 that's not big at all. And going back to what you said about the Coliseum, man, the Coliseum is dope. It's got that history. It's got like the torch. It's got like the, you know, the arches as you walk in. It's got that whole feel. You know, a lot of special stuff has happened since you've been down there. Yeah. But you're right. The Coliseum is basically Qualcomm 2.0. It's like 10 years from now, the Coliseum is going to be Qualcomm right now. So,
yeah. Well, and like I said, I love the history. I respect the shit out of it. They light the torch before the game starts. You go out front, there's a piece of the Roman Coliseum. There's a piece from Athens, Greece. You have all that stuff. Awesome. Like, totally awesome. They have the Olympic stuff. I agree with all that, but when you try to just walk through the tunnels, like where the concessions are, you can only go like four wide. Like it's, you can't even move through it. It's such a, the planning and stuff.
You're absolutely right. So, you know, so first of all, the Inglewood Stadium, I live literally like 5 or 10 minutes away from Inglewood where the stadium's going to be. So I'm going to really try to stay living where I'm at because in 3 years, I mean, all the property value out here and everything's, it's already been booming and it's already been crazy, but dude, Inglewood, City of Champions, man, right next to the Forum. We're going to have the Forum right there, you know, for music venues and for other shows. We're going to have the Inglewood Football Stadium right there. Inglewood is on the rise, baby. I'm telling you right now, Inglewood, baby. I told the sports DJs about this last year. I told you that I met the contractor that was going to be responsible for building the stadium downtown. They're building a new stadium downtown. They're going to be building it. I don't know if they're flipping the LA Convention Center or if they're building a whole new stadium. But they're going to add another MLS team for LA in addition to the Galaxy. And I'm pretty sure that's where the Chargers are going to play eventually too, probably in the next couple of years, 2 to 3 years. So you heard that first here from Rome.
There we go.
Yeah. Yep.
That's Sorry. Continue.
No, I'm just saying that. So I would really expect the Chargers to play downtown in the next 2 to 3 years. Obviously, Carson is just temporary. There was talk about before the Rams came, you know, there was talk about whether the Rams would play in this Inglewood plot and this, you know, the schematics they drew up for the Inglewood Stadium versus there was another one out in Carson that they wanted to do too. And I really don't think they'll want to have the Chargers or any professional team out in Carson. I just don't think the lure or the attraction is there. I think obviously they'd rather have them be right downtown, right next to Staples Center. So I would expect to see that stadium in downtown in the next couple of years.
That makes a ton of sense. That's what I was going to ask you because you said the Inglewood Stadium is going to be built in 3 years, and that's the big mecca that they're going to – it's like Jerry World 2.0 for LA, right?
Oh, yeah.
I saw all the schematics that they have the big poster by the Coliseum and everything. It looks fucking amazing. Like they just broke ground on it recently and stuff. Looks awesome. And they're both going to play there, right? The Rams and the Chargers?
They're going to play there temporarily, or I guess, you know, we'll see what happens. But I still think, yeah, they could both play there. going forward in the long run. But I still think that, you know, knowing Dean Spanos and, you know, knowing having the opportunity to try to make even more money, I think that, listen, LA is only going to be growing. It's already way too crowded. It's only going to be growing with more people. I think if they can leverage and have an opportunity to build another stadium downtown, I think they'll do that.
That's interesting. I'm not disagreeing with you because I could definitely see them looking to take that money grab. It totally makes sense, especially for a city like LA. It makes a ton of sense. I just always envisioned a stadium like that. They do the whole like New York thing where they share it all and do that whole cha-cha. But I can see that happening.
Could be. We'll just like you said, though, that Inglewood Stadium, that's going to be Jerry World times two, 2.0. That Kroenke money, yeah.
Yeah, everything I've seen with that just looks freaking insane. I just visited Jerry World, and they put that thing together perfect. That was probably one of the best well-put-together stadium experiences ever. You never waited in line for more than 5 minutes for anything. It was perfect. But so the stadium they're building downtown now, they're getting another MLS team? That's, like, official?
I don't know if it's official. I don't know if it's been publicly announced, but, you know, through Rome's – somewhat reliable, pretty reliable sources. You heard it here first. We're going to have another MLS team. Just wait.
Rumor has it. Okay. And so this stadium's located where?
It's going to be downtown. They're either going to redo or flip the LA Convention Center that's, you know, really outdated. Nice. Yeah, really needs to be redone. Or they're going to find a new plot and redo that. I think it's going to be at the Convention Center, though. So, yeah.
That's what I was wondering, because they said the Chargers only agreed to play at the Galaxy's place for 1 year. And I knew Jerry World 2.0 wasn't ready for three more years. So I was curious on what they were going to pull off on that. Now it's all coming together, Rome. It's all coming together. God damn, Bench with Bubba, episode 16. Breaking news, folks. Well, shit. Okay. Well, before we completely go off the Chargers talk, anything else you want to tell us about NFL LA? You got Jared Goff and the Rams.
I got more breaking news. I just found out that Philip Rivers' wife is pregnant again with twins. That's bringing the kid count up to 16.
They're going to play offensive line for Jared Goff before he retires.
Exactly, dude. My dude can't miss. Right. He can't miss. He's got extra goalies in there, and he's still scoring.
It's crazy. Oh, here's one that I did see today, though. This is actually a real one. What's with the animosity? I could see the animosity in San Diego about the Chargers leaving. What's with the animosity in L.A.? Because Spanos is having trouble. There are L.A. moving companies and San Diego moving companies telling the Chargers no, they will not move. Like, no amount of money, they will not move the Chargers to L.A. LA companies are telling them no.
They're gonna have to hire some folks that are south of the border in order to get it done.
That's what I'm figuring. That they'll find them. But I was shocked when I saw LA was telling them no. That made no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that, but I'm gonna be on the lookout. That's pretty strange.
Okay. We'll move on from LA. We'll probably have more on that. And when some of this other stuff leaks, we will definitely have Mr. Rome back on Bench with Bubba to make some of these official things. But what a crazy weekend of NFL divisional playoff action. Saturday was, kind of what you expected. Sunday, banana land. First off, we'll go with Saturday. I know the outline is not like this, but let's just get the boring stuff out of the way. Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons stayed the Atlanta Falcons, put up a ton of points as expected. Seattle on the road stayed Seattle on the road. Matty Ice looking good. Julio Jones a little banged up, doing his thing. What are you taking away from the Falcons' victory over Seattle?
Yeah, Falcons are legit, man. They're really good. That offense is, you know, I did a quick summary and a quick little outline to write up for Sports Degens for the playoff games this last weekend. And I was telling everybody that the Falcons, they're the best offensive in the league, at least that I can see. They have a two-headed absolute monster running backs with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. They got Matt Ryan, who's playing his best football, in my opinion, right now. They've got a litany of receivers. They got obviously Julio. They got Sanu. They got Gabriel. They have a couple tight ends that are doing really well. There's just so many weapons, and most importantly, they have Dan Quinn, who has brought the defense. He's lit a fire in that defense, and Vic Beasley is sack leader. And they lost Trufant, who was one of their better cornerbacks, one of their better DBs early in the year against Seattle back in that game in Seattle. But everyone stepped up. They're playing really, really, really well. They're playing as a cohesive unit, especially on defense. They're bringing the pressure, and the defense is playing just well enough so that the offense can outscore the other team's the other team. So listen, I really, really, really thought that the Falcons would beat the Seahawks, and obviously without Earl Thomas, the Seahawks on the road this year have not been that good. So if that game was in Seattle, might have been a little bit different. But no, that game literally went exactly how I thought it would. I almost got the final score exactly how I thought it would be. But yeah, I hit big on that. I took Falcons to cover the points. I took the over. So that was tremendous. They've got a big. We'll get to the Green Bay Dallas game here in a second, but they've got a big challenge playing a red slash white hot Aaron Rodgers team this weekend in Atlanta. So, they're going to have their work cut out for them. But I'll tell you right now that I like the Falcons to be in the Super Bowl this year. That's what I'll say right now.
Yeah, no. In my little write up, I was torn. I liked the over. I was torn on the side. I said I like Seattle if it's a 6 or 7. I thought they'd keep it close, but I also said Atlanta's scoring 40 points at will, and I don't know if Seattle can keep up with that. So that's why I was like, just take the over. Atlanta's offense is just scary good right now. They're clicking. Matty Ice is he's making guys like Taylor Gabriel look like a Pro Bowler. He's just – everything's clicking really, really good. And they're playing defense. They're playing defense, like you said. So, yeah, be interesting. We'll talk about their fun weekend ahead coming up. Let's get into the Saturday night action. New England hosted Houston. And the first half did not go as expected for many, as New England only had a 1-point lead going into the half thanks to two Tommy Brady interceptions. And Bill Belichick's little halftime interview going in the locker room, same three answers to all three questions. It was almost Greg Popovich-esque. It was quite outstanding. I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room. But it was probably the best thing that could ever happen to the Patriots, if you look at it that way, because now all week Belichick gets to basically tell them they're all worthless. They all suck. You guys have to do this. You have to do that. And I would hate to be the Steelers this Sunday because they came out and just dominated the second half and took care of business as expected and beat up on Houston. What are your takeaways from this Sunday? Any concerns with the Pats?
I was really surprised. I didn't get a chance to watch either game this last Saturday. I was out in Portola Valley. By the way, beautiful place in the Bay Area. But if you have some money, if you have a little chunk of change, get yourself some land out there. That's God's land out there. Either way, I could not believe it. I got back to the hotel. I was at the Embassy Suites in Santa Clara. I was right down the street from Levi Stadium, and I turn on the game. I see the score, and I'm like, "Whoa, what is going on here?" If I was a Patriots fan, I would be very concerned. I'd be very, very concerned right now because, the loss of Rob Gronkowski. That's a big deal. That's a big loss. I don't. We have a lot of Patriots fans that are part of our sports DGens group, and especially on Twitter, you're going to see a lot of Patriots fans out there. And listen, guys, I love Bill Belichick. I respect the hell out of him. I think he's probably one of the best coaches I've ever seen coach football. Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game, without a doubt. I think that it's going to be a really, really, really tough game, and unfortunately, The last thing that the Patriots wanted to see was the Steelers win that game the way that they did, because the Steelers are coming in with nothing to lose, man. Nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose. All the pressure is on the Patriots right now. All the pressure is on the Patriots. They're at home. Of course, they should be great, but I heard the Patriots are they're laying 6. They're minus 6 right now. You can get Steelers plus 6 right now. I would hop all over that. So something about it just makes me think that, you know, Brady, Gostkowski, you know, that the veteran guys are gonna pull through. But I've got my concerns. I've definitely got my concerns if I'm a Patriots fan. The defense is concerning, because again, Houston is, in the article that we wrote, I really liked the under in that game. I thought that both defenses would come to play. I thought that Houston's defense was legit. They had a couple, you know, Cushing, Clowney, obviously without Watt. They had a couple guys that were questionable, but of course they're going to play. It's a playoff game. But I mean, seriously, the Patriots, you know, they gave up at least 24 points, I think, or 24, 27 points. I'd be concerned, man. I'd be really concerned if I was a Patriots fan, because guess what? The Steelers' offense, they're like second best in the league. They're second or third behind the Falcons and the Patriots. So I'd be very concerned.
Yeah. No, it was very interesting to see the weapons. They're there, but they're not as dominant as they once were for Tommy and the boys. But they always find a way to get it done. That's what the Patriots do. That's the Patriot way. And, we'll get to this Sunday's action, but they will be facing the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they took care of business last night in Kansas City, freezing Kansas City, 18-16, thanks to six field goals. Six, I said, field goals. Le'Veon Bell kicked ass, 179 yards, I believe, on the ground. No touchdowns, obviously, but he did Le'Veon Bell things. They got it done, just couldn't find the end zone. 2-point conversion failed late for Kansas City. That's why they lost by two. Probably other reasons as well. But that was the final score there. Pittsburgh keeps finding ways to get it done. Be an interesting matchup coming up this Sunday. Anything on that game?
Oh, man, I got tons on that game. So, you know, first of all, it was a great game, really close. Smash mouth football game. What I want to talk about first is James Harrison. James Harrison, this guy is unbelievable, man. This guy is damn near 40, and this guy is out here still killing people. I mean, this guy, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram. You should just follow him on Instagram. Check out the way this guy works out. Check out the way he takes care of himself and his body. This guy is no joke. He is still, I don't know if you guys saw that after, I remember in the game yesterday, there was a point where they had to call a timeout, and he was just on the sideline catching his breath after making an incredible play. He ended up blitzing on like second or third down and ended up putting pressure on Alex Smith and, you know, ran him down. And I mean, he's just sitting there on the sideline like a rabid dog, you know, just catching his breath, just waiting, just coach, put me back in the game. I'm ready. You know, and dude, James Harrison, this Pittsburgh defense, they're playing playoff football. You know, that's a force to be reckoned with, you know, and then, the Killer Bees, yeah, we got Antonio Brown. Yeah, we got Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, we got Ben Roethlisberger. It's time to add a fourth Killer Bee to that name, just like Bubba said, with those six field goals. My boy Chris Boswell, my man. this guy is no joke, man. And a big advantage in the playoffs is having a reliable kicker that can hit field goals. You saw what Mason Crosby did yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. You saw those corkscrew balls. I thought two of those field goals were going out, and yet they somehow just came back in. Chris Boswell is money. That guy's clutch. You saw it during the regular season. You saw it yesterday. And again, if I was the Patriots, I would be very concerned, man. I really would. That is a hot team that's coming in right now. So they're great on offense. They're great on defense. They have leaders. They have momentum. They have nothing to lose. They don't have any pressure on them. I'd be very concerned if I were the Patriots.
Now we get to probably one of the best playoff games I've seen in a long time. Maybe not quality-wise, but definitely entertainment-wise. The officiating was horrific, but entertainment-wise, Green Bay-Dallas. Green Bay taking care of business on the road. Aaron Rodgers once again proving to everyone why he is the GOAT, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. That last play to get the ball into field goal range on that pass to Cook, the catch was amazing, but just to make that pass was probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I was watching the game with my buddies, And all everyone, first off, when they spiked the ball with like a minute left, I was looking at everybody going, what the hell are they thinking? Because obviously that turned out to be huge because they could have kicked the field goal and time would have expired. But now I said, look it, you just gave Aaron Rodgers 35 seconds and two timeouts. Bad idea. Bad idea. That was amazing. Amazing game. He is clicking on all cylinders. I said it before the playoffs started, I would not want to face Green Bay because a red-hot Aaron Rodgers is not someone you want to say. Like you said, he might be white-hot. He's that good right now. He's about the only person I could see knocking Atlanta off, but they don't play defense, which kind of scares me. But that was outstanding. What do you got on that game? Because that was – and don't take anything away from Dallas. Dak played great, in my opinion. Elliott is a man-child. Jason Garrett should be fired. His clock management, his play calling. I could go on hour-long rants. I'm not even a Cowboys fan. But they should never have lost that game. It all goes on him. But what do you got, Rome?
You just nailed everything right there. You said it all right there. First of all, we got a lot of Cowboys fans. Not a lot, but we got some Cowboys fans in the DGN group. So, you know, especially Power D, man. I hope you're okay. I haven't checked. I hope you made it through yesterday, man. Just sending my prayers to you specifically. But, yeah, listen, man, it's Jason Garrett. If you ever want to watch a ginger sweat, go ahead and rewatch that playoff game yesterday. This guy was sweating the whole game. This guy looked like a man. I don't even want to make a comparison, but he was he made a lot of bad decisions. Just like you said, they only ran Ezekiel Elliott like 25 times the whole game. If they would have just committed to running Ezekiel Elliott, milking the clock, and just keeping Aaron Rodgers off of the field, Cowboys would have won that game. I don't blame Dak Prescott at all. He played phenomenally. He's played great this whole year. He's a winner. That is a legit franchise quarterback. But yeah, man, I was over at the bar watching the game. It was completely lit. It was one of the best games I've seen in a long time. I completely agree with you. Their head coach made some mistakes, and you know, the defense didn't play as good as they played all year, but hey, you know, facing the white hot Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, there's not really much you can do. Like, you can just try to contain him. The best thing that you can do is keep him off the field. And that's why ultimately it comes back to Jason Garrett. So yeah, man, he should definitely be fired. I mean, I don't know what to say. You know, listen, Cowboys fans, don't worry too much. The future is bright for you guys. You guys got some great pieces. You just need, a couple tweaks. You know, I think Jerry knows what he needs to do, and I think ultimately it's going to happen. But, you know, Zeke is tremendous. You know, Dak is tremendous. They've got some pieces. The line's there. Offensive line, defensive line's not bad either. So just keep building on that, and, you know, you guys are going to be there. In the next at least 2 or 3 years, you guys will be there.
The important pieces are there.
And the core pieces are there, absolutely. But, you know, listen, Aaron Rodgers, man, this guy is just like – I'll tell you what was bigger than the actual last throw that he made to Jared Cook. I mean, that was a phenomenal throw and catch, but the bigger play was when – I don't remember the dude's name, but number 38 on Dallas, White Boy, came up and just sacked the shit out of Aaron Rodgers, and he took it. He didn't drop the ball, and he called a timeout right after that play. That was one of the best, most veteran plays you'll ever see. That is a straight vet-winning play right there. That was ultimately probably what won him the game.
Yeah, he got sacked, rolled over, called timeout.
Dude, unreal. He knew immediately. He's like, yo, get her up. I'm in pain. Call the timeout. Boom. That is a unreal play that you won't see very much. And if you do see something like that, you better recognize greatness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, listen, I don't – all that being said, though, and you're right, the Pack, they're a really hard team to bet against. That's why the line is probably going to fluctuate between, you know, 2.5 to 1. Might be a pick 'em, might be – I couldn't see that much money coming in on Atlanta, but – man, that game, that's going to be an over game. Basically, the game against the Falcons, Green Bay versus Atlanta, that's going to be whoever has the ball at the end of the game is probably going to win the game. You know, so it's going to come down right to the end. You know, whoever – it's going to be another kind of a head coaching duel. You know, whoever has the ball at the end of the game will probably win. But I agree with you. The Falcons, The Falcons defense is definitely better than Green Bay's. The Green Bay defense is porous, you know, whether it's especially the pass defense. So, you know, I'm going to go with Atlanta to, like I said earlier, to be in the Super Bowl this year. So, but yeah, that Green Bay game, man, that was amazing. Really fun to watch.
Well, first off, Atlanta's -5against Green Bay. And the over-under at the moment is 61.
Damn.
Yeah. I want to go back. Like I said, I am not a Cowboys fan. And all year I feel the Cowboys could have been undefeated. That's how bad the Ginger is coached. And at the same time, they're lucky they weren't 8-8 on some games because of how bad he is coached. In a game where you want to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, I've been talking to my Cowboy friends all week. How do you let Dak Prescott throw the ball 41 times? How, on like 2nd and 2 and 3rd and 2, does Ezekiel Elliott, who usually when he hits the line can fall forward for 3 yards, never touch the football? There's like, you could go back and watch that game film and just – it's mind-blowing. If anybody listens to the Dan Patrick Show or just has free time, look it up. He has a website. You can Google it. Shane Irving calls in all the time.
Yeah.
Great. If you don't know Shay, you should know Shay because he's entertaining as hell. He has a phenomenal podcast. He called in today way more composed than I expected, and he hit it on the head. Check out his clip. Follow him on Twitter. Usually his Shane Irving podcast handle will just tweet his clip from the show. Listen to it. It's outstanding. But real quick, you like Atlanta in the Super Bowl and who from the AFC?
But before I get to that, I just want to say I love Shay and Irving. I love Dan Patrick. I listen to him every morning on my way to work. And I love it when he calls in because, you know, right away, it's like he's like, Dan's like, okay, so we're going to Shay, Shay in Texas or whatever, Shay Irving. And he comes on, he's like, hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now, Dan, the cheese is fucking toast. The ginger is toast. This guy is absolutely hilarious. Great podcast. Great podcast. So, yeah, definitely check him out.
Yeah, he was good today.
He's amazing.
But it was embarrassing.
My heart tells me to go with the Steelers, but I'm going to tell you right now that, the Patriots have home field. I think they're going to be able to step up enough to win the game by, like, a field goal or something, like, right at the end. And I think let's talk about conspiracies for a second, because I'm telling you right now, what happened yesterday in Dallas, even though I won, I took Green Bay all the way, money line +5. I was heavily invested in them yesterday, and so I'm very happy. But there was a lot of bullshit in that game, but I still can't believe it. Just like you said, you know, running it, like, why are you passing on third down when you have Zeke? You know, why is Dak throwing for 40 times? Like, who's making these decisions? Even the ginger knows better than that. So, you know, there is a certain conspiracy element to sports, to the National Football League. And a part of that conspiracy element makes me think that Tom Brady and the New England Patriots will be in the Super Bowl playing the Atlanta Falcons. Book it.
So Patriots-Falcons going to Houston. We will reconvene on this one Monday morning. But I can't disagree with you. All right. NFL talk is over for now. Let's get a little NBA action. NBA All-Star voting is ramped up. You see hashtag NBA vote all over the place. Romy Rome, what are you seeing out there? Anything surprising you in the world of the NBA?
Well, so first of all, I just want to apologize because this year I have not been doing my due diligence. I haven't really been – the NBA is one of my favorite sports, and it's something I usually follow very closely. It's something I usually – you know, track stats and, you know, really play a lot of DFS and, you know, really bet heavily. But, you know, this year I've been really busy and I've been, my time has been occupied and I haven't been able to truly spend the time that I want to be able to watch the games and follow it as closely as I would like. So that has ultimately resulted in, you know, less pieces on DFS and less articles written throughout the year so far. So, you know, I want to apologize to sports degens and to everybody out there that's, you know, that might might be missing or might be, you know, used to seeing some of those pieces. So I'm really hoping that I can 2017, you know, once football season's officially over, I can try to refocus and get back to doing that. But yeah, you know, NBA All-Star game's coming up. It's coming up in February. So let's talk about any surprises. I mean, you know what, Russell Westbrook, you know, averaging a triple double. Is that a surprise? You ask some people, they're probably going to say no. It's still pretty amazing either way. So, you know, Russ is obviously the top of the list. What James Harden is doing is no joke. This guy is putting up numbers that I've never seen before. I don't think anybody's seen these type of numbers before. This guy's throwing up like 50 points, like 13 rebounds, like 12 assists. I mean, this guy is unreal. It's a lot of it's that Mike D'Antoni system, though, so that's kind of to be expected. But, you know, they're playing well. They're playing well. Ever since they got rid of Dwight Howard, they're not doing too bad at all. What I do want to talk about is the future that is kind of now in the Milwaukee Bucks with the Greek freak, Giannis. Okay, here we go, Brian. I got it. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo.
Is that right?
Go ahead. Try to say it.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try. I will butcher it three ways from sunrise.
It's first of all, it's Giannis. You don't pronounce the G. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. Something like that.
Antetokounmpo.
There you go. You got it. So it's
– that's sweet.
Yeah, this guy. So ever since they moved him to point guard, this has been one of the best show, one of the best watches in the NBA. I mean, this guy is amazing. I'm sure a lot of you guys, you know of or follow, you know, Rob, Worldwide Wob on Twitter. He's great. He's got a lot of great content, a lot of great opinions. Sometimes he'll go live. But, I mean, you see these pictures of Greek Freak. You know, this guy is taking off and slamming dunking from, like, the free throw line, like, you know, regularly, like it's nothing. I mean, he's so long, and he's exciting. He's a really fun player. He's young. He's only, like, 22, 23, so he's going to be the future. So if you haven't watched a Bucks game, make sure to do so. So teams that have surprised me. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid from the Sixers is playing phenomenally. Finally, he's on the court after missing like 2 to 3 years. He's a true 7-footer. His game reminds me of Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, this guy is legit. This guy is smooth. He's, you know, back to the basket, a couple pivots, a couple fakes. This guy is smooth as the dream, man. He's really fun to watch too. So if I was a Philadelphia Sixer fan, Brian Bevo, I don't know if you're listening, but if you do listen to this, and if you're a Sixer fan, stay excited, because once Simmons comes back and once he kind of gets into the groove, once they put those pieces together, the Sixers are going to be fun to watch, man. They're going to be okay. So we got those guys. You know, teams that are surprising so far, I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm going to go with the Spurs because they just continue to do it. I don't know how they continue to do it. I guess it's that Popovich, that conspiracy, whatever, but they're just as good as they always are. So, you know, one of the best regular season teams you'll see. The Thunder, you know, behind Russell Westbrook, they're winning. They're second in their conference. Not the Western Conference, but they're second in their division, I should say, and they're doing quite well. They'll make the playoffs, and they should make some noise. Memphis Grizzlies, man. You know, Marc Gasol is not quite the same as he's been, but he's still good. Mike Conley playing well. All the other surrounding players, especially off the bench, playing well. Atlanta playing very well. You have Dwight Howard coming to the Hawks. You know, they're Mike Budenholzer or whatever. You know, they got that German connection with the coach and with Dennis Schroeder. So, you know, that seems to be working out well for them down there, even after trading Kyle Korver. You know, obviously the Cavaliers are the best team in the league. You know, sorry, Golden State fans. You know, I'm gonna have to say it. That, you know, again, I wrote an article before the season started. One of the things that I almost guaranteed was that the Warriors would not win the national championship or the NBA title. And I'm still sticking with that. I think it's going to be the Cavs. They just got Kyle Korver, a little bit more shooting arsenal there. So those are some of the you know, surprising teams in terms of kind of a like a positive surprise. Some of the more disappointing teams, I'm going with the Clippers. They're, you know, they started really hot. I thought they were one of the best teams in the West. But they have just completely tanked, man. They're, you know, they lost Blake Griffin. Chris Paul is kind of like, he's shooting too many State Farm commercials. And he's over on the side, you know, he's just messing around, not being the leader he should. So, you know, they're in some serious trouble. They need to get healthy and they need to get together immediately. The Bulls are really disappointing. You know, the Rondo experiment has obviously turned out to be a disaster. You know, Wade has played well, but, you know, he's the team is just not playing the way that they need to in terms of being together and being a team. So, you know, watch out for some moves to be made over there. The Knicks, I'm throwing the Knicks in there. They're okay, you know, but there's a lot of trade rumors with Carmelo Anthony. There, people are talking about Blake Griffin potentially coming to the Knicks for Carmelo Anthony. I don't know who the hell would do that, but I guess people are talking about it. And, you know, last but not least, Minnesota, the Timberwolves, man. I really expected them to be better than what they are. You know, I thought they have a lot of young talent, a lot of pieces. Karl Anthony Towns is a stud, but he seems to just be, you know, kicking back, shooting threes. Like, you know, no, I'm not quite sure what's going on there. I thought Tibbs would, you know, Coach Tibbs would really have them, you know, playing solid defense and playing a lot better than they are. So we'll have to keep an eye on that too, but definitely a little bit disappointing.
So you're telling me to trust the process, and you're telling me the Knicks aren't a super team. This is good. This is good. One question I had for you, it's not on the outline, but I wanted to ask you because he seems to be almost nightly, he's in a headline for some reason. It usually isn't because of his basketball talent. I used to live up in the Sacramento area. I used to go to – I had season tickets to the Kings. I used to enjoy him. I was there in the white chocolate era, the C-Web era. I went to the playoff game. I loved the shit out of it. It's disappointing watching what has transpired in recent years. You watch a lot more NBA than I do these days. What is your take on Boogie? I really want to see because the talent is there. Like, and that's why I think they put up with a lot of the crap. But what is your take on Boogie?
You know, Boogie, you know, he's I'm trying to think of a good comparison to Boogie in terms of just, you know, sheer talent. Basically, his attitude is as bad as his talent is good. That's the only way that I can put it. You know, he's
well said.
Yeah, he's got a lot of maturing to do. You know, I think that if he can ever, you know, sometimes with people, I've met a lot of people like him in my life, personality wise. You know, obviously, I've never met anybody that's like 7'1", 7'2". They can hit threes and can basically do anything on a basketball court. But you know, some people they're not grateful for things. You know, that's the type of guy to me. He's not grateful. He's not grateful for his talent. He's not grateful for the position he's in his life right now. And, you know, unfortunately, I hope it's nothing serious, but sometimes for people like that, you know, life has to teach you to be grateful. You know, something has to happen in your life. You have to lose something or somebody. You know, you have to learn to be grateful in life in order to, you know, change your attitude around. So, again, this is Philosophy 101 here with Rome. You know, you guys are getting a lot more than just sports right here. So, you know, it's serious, man. I mean, I don't know what – I know that the GM – I'm sorry, the owner that bought the team, the Indian guy, Vivek, I know that he wanted to – incorporate and run like a super, super fast paced, high tempo offensive style team, almost like a Euro ball type team, you know, where they're like averaging 120 points a game, you know, something that Mike D'Antoni would probably be, he'd be tired trying to keep up with the pace of what he wants to do, of what Vivek wants to do. But I haven't seen that this year. You know, I've seen a team that has struggled and, you know, obviously they're record wise, they're not doing that well. And people are frustrated. You know, George Karl came out and he wrote the book and he was talking about Boogie and, you know, back from the time he was coaching the Kings. So I don't know, man. I mean, I would say that he would be a good trade piece, but at the same time, he's kind of killed his own value just with a lot of his outbursts and a lot of his attitude problems. So it's a big problem. You know, they're probably going to have to sell low. And I don't know, man. I really don't know. I just hope the Lakers don't. Oh man, I don't know. Lakers are a whole different story. I'm sure we'll talk about them here in a second, but yeah. I don't know, man. It's tough times if you're a Kings or Lakers fan right now.
Yeah, no, that's why I was just wondering because like you do hear the rumors of, you know, he's a trade bait or he's this or that, but I know I sure as hell wouldn't trade for him if I was an owner or a GM because that's just asking for clubhouse cancer. Like, you know, there's a point where talent level only goes so far to ruining your team. It's just not – there's certain things that just – there's a line drawn in the sand, and he way crosses it, and it's just not worth it. So Yeah, I just wanted to get your take on it because I know you pay way more attention to stuff more than just box scores like I do, and you know the occasional Twitter thing I see and whatnot. But it seems like I see way more stuff on Boogie, more than just like, you know, with the Greek Freak, I'm seeing vines of him dunking from the free throw line all the time and awesome stuff. With Boogie, I'm seeing him throwing towels and chewing out Sacramento Bee reporters and stuff. I'm not seeing dunks and shit. So that's why I'm trying to figure out why is this kid not figuring shit out? But I was just curious what you're hearing elsewhere.
Yeah, you know, it's a big loss to take, but unfortunately, if I were the Kings ownership management, I would just eat it and I would get whatever you can for him, like as soon as possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. No, that's what it's going to have to come down to eventually. But let's move on. Like you're saying, Mr. LA, I know these are your boys, the Lake Show. How are the Lakers doing and how are the people feeling about your Lakers these days?
Hey, man, 15 wins already. You know, we're not even – I guess we're about halfway through the season. If you would have taken the, you know, the team win total over from the beginning of the year, you'd probably be sitting in a pretty good position. I know I did. But either way, the Lakers, they still suck. Okay. Don't let me or anybody else try to tell you different. But you know, it's better. You know, as much as I hate not seeing Kobe on the court this year, you know, it was definitely time, you know, for him. Probably a few years ago it was time, but you know, we're moving on. You know, the Lakers, they were exciting at the beginning of the year. You know, they had a couple pretty good wins, a couple surprising wins. They've been playing well as a team. I like Luke Walton as a coach. I think he's going to be the right guy for the job ultimately. I think he probably needs a couple more years. You know, D'Angelo Russell, I'm not really sure if he's going to be the answer going forward long term. He's a talented kid. He's a great shooter. I just don't know if he's really like that good of a point guard. I don't know if he really thinks pass first. You know, and he's 6'5". You know, he's got some. I need to stop lying to myself. You know, he's not. I don't think he's the guy. I really don't think he's the guy. I'll tell you what this year has been about, though. This has been the Swaggy P resurgence year.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that's right. This year has been all about Swaggy P, maybe Nick Young. And it's funny because a guy that I work with actually knows him really well. So I'm hoping one of these nights I'm going to be able to just kind of randomly like, oh, what's up, Swaggy P? Hey, what's going on? So look out for that, guys. I'm going to get a picture, get a little time with Swaggy P. We might be able to get him on the show one of these days. We'll see. But yeah, man, Nick's playing well. He's, you know, their offense isn't bad at all. They can score, but they definitely can't defend. Mozgov, that whole signing was a joke. You know, Julius Randle has played okay. I think in the last couple of weeks he's actually played a lot better. He's playing more aggressively. He's not settling for shots. He's getting to the rim. So that's good. I like Randle. I like Clarkson. I like Swaggy P. Brandon Ingram has been a little bit disappointing. I really was hoping to see a lot more from him, especially this year. I just want him to go out and just play, get minutes and play more freely. You know, I feel like he's listening too much to the coaches and he's like trying to fit into this scheme, whatever the scheme is, when, you know, really, dude, you just got to go out there and play ball, man. Just go out there. Just, you know, if they expect you to do something, but if that's not there, then do something else. Just go out there and do it. Have fun, play some ball, put on a show. You know, even if you guys aren't winning, you know, if you're putting on a show, if you're making plays, you know, whether it's football or basketball, that's all you have to do. You know, keep the crowd entertained. Keep us as Laker fans wanting to continue to watch and wanting to talk about the Lakers. And, you know, so that's all really that we can ask for. But, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a process, you know, another year, another 2 years before we're in the playoffs, before we really have our identity. But, you know, we're on the right track. So we'll see.
So you're telling me getting rid of Iggy Azalea was the answer for Swaggy P? Just like playing the field is what Swaggy P needed to do?
Absolutely. 100%. 100.
Okay, so get rid of baggage is the answer in Rome's life. That's what we're learning here. Philosophy 101. We're just take notes, kids. Anything else? Any Clippers talk, or is it all Lakers in L.A.?
Oh, man. Well, I hate talking about the Clippers just because I'm a Lakers fan, and I just absolutely – I don't hate the Clippers, but now listen, the Clippers, they started off really, really well. They still have a great bench. If they can get everybody back, everybody healthy, they can figure a couple things out. You know, first of all, I don't know what happened to Blake Griffin. Like, I know he got injured, but I feel like this guy is just, like, purposely taking time off during the regular season the last couple of years. I feel like he doesn't – I feel like he's not tough. I feel like he's, like, a fake tough guy. You know, that's why, he's making all these gesticulations and he's – you know, people are getting in his face. And he's just soft, man. He's not tough. He's not a tough guy. You know, he doesn't have resilience. Yeah, and it shows. It shows with what's happened to them in the playoffs the last couple of years. You know, they – epic meltdown to Houston last year. I mean, listen, I want to wish the best for the Clippers, but I can't. I just can't do it. I just I like Doc Rivers. He's probably the of anybody that I really respect on that team. It's probably the head coach. And you know, I hope they figure it out because they've got way too much talent to not figure it out. So you know, hopefully they'll come back. They'll be healthy, and hopefully they can make some noise in the playoffs.
All right, all right. Getting towards the end here, let's talk a little L.A. baseball. The Dodgers, this pains me to say these words real quick. Really nice season last year, winning the NL West. Really nice start to their offseason, bringing back a very nice closer in Kenley Jansen, which what they had to do when the Giants signed Melanson. You got to keep up with the other really good team in California, but okay. Then they signed Turner, the ginger third baseman, very nice third baseman. Then they keep talking about trading for Dozier. Now the rumors are if they can't get Dozier, they might trade for Kinsler. But now everywhere Detroit's talking about not trading anybody. So who knows what they're going to do there. They do need to get a second baseman. They assigned a Cuban guy who might be able to play second baseman, but he might not be ready. Who knows what's going on there. Spring training's a month away. Pitchers and catchers report around – Valentine's Day, give or take a few days. First game actions like the 21st, 22nd. We are right there. So the rumblings have to be starting in your backyard. What is the outlook for your Dodgers this year, Rome?
Well, we're all excited out here for LA. You know, we're hoping for a better result than the end of last year. Although last year was a great, great season. It's going to be sad not to have Vin Scully on the games, you know, on TV or on the radio anymore, but, you know, we'll move on. Just like you said, you know, re-signing Jansen is huge. Re-signing Turner is huge. You know, having the 1-2 punch of, Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill, that's really good too. So, you know, things look good. Things are in place. I'm not quite certain what they're going to do with Puig and with some of the other acquisitions, but, you know, I think if we can, you know, I trust Andrew Friedman and I trust the management and the ownership to continue to do what they have to do to improve the team. You know, in terms of Dozier or Kinsler, I mean, if we could sign either of those guys, that would be an unbelievable upgrade at second base. I'm trying to think of what they needed to really, you know, really get the job done last year. And I guess it's offense. I mean, the pitching was great. You know, they had a great year last year. I mean, they were playing with a purpose. They played for Vin. You know, they were trying to win for Vin. They came really close. I mean, they lost to the World Series winner in the Chicago Cubs. So that's definitely nothing to be ashamed about. Just like you said, they're keeping up and they're staying competitive with the moves that the Giants are making. The Giants are not going to be bad at all next year. They'll be great. So, you know, it's going to be another exciting season in NL, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm just kind of waiting. If we can get Dozier, you know, that's a guy that can grab bags. That's a guy that can, you know, hit for average. He can hit for power. They can get Kinsler. You know, that's like a 1B. I mean, those are top tier guys. You know, those are top tier guys. So if we don't have to give anything up, and if we can sign one of those two guys and improve our infield a little bit, then yeah, you know, watch out. Watch out, man.
Well, right now they both be trade targets, but and I don't know what the Twins are holding off on, because the Dodgers offered De Leon, one of your stud pitching prospects. So the other pieces in the deal must not have been to their likings, is my only guess. But if you guys were able to pull off Dozier or Kinsler, I might cry, because those would be outstanding additions to your club and your lineup. And Dozier is under club control pretty cheap for a couple more years, so that would be scary, scary good. But we will see what happens in the next few weeks as we get closer to spring training for the Doyers. But one last thing, you mentioned it a few times, and it is sad. As a baseball fan, you got to appreciate the legendary Vince Scully, who retired from announcing baseball this past season. The best to have ever done it, in my opinion. And I get to listen to some good ones in the Bay Area. And there's some good ones out there on other teams. I'm not going to be biased, just to mine. There's really good ones everywhere. But Vin is amazing. And you've been able to hear him in your neck of the woods. You have one or two or whatever the favorite Vin moments that you can think of?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I feel like anytime you can turn on a game and listen to Vin, you should be really thankful, really grateful, because it's the type of guy that, you know, first of all, he's 100% class A. You know, he is the most professional of all professionals. That's like just a legend. You know, it's like Michael Jordan. He's better than Michael Jordan because he's such a class act. You know, everything he does. He's a storyteller, you know, he's just one of a kind, man. So this is all I'm going to say, because I could just babble on and just whatever forever. Do yourselves a favor. If you guys like Vin Scully, if you want to hear and see one of the coolest speeches, in my opinion, he's ever made, go on YouTube and look up his Hall of Fame ceremony speech that he gave when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. It'll give you chills. It is just amazing. He tells a story about, I'm not going to tell it, but he tells an amazing story about a Native American, about like an Indian tribe, and about, you know, these warriors that went out. They were given certain missions to go do. And I mean, it is just, you want to talk about life lessons. You want to talk about wisdom. You know, you want to talk about, you know, some of the greatest things that you can hope to learn, you know, in your life. Those are all the things that Vin Scully tried to teach us in every baseball game that he would broadcast. You know, he was literally giving out life lessons. You know, he was giving out wisdom, and he was calling a hell of a baseball game every single time he was on the air. So, you know, I'm going to be, you know, really sad that I won't be able to continue to hear him going forward. But, you know, everything that he's done, I'm going to try to take all the good from that. And, you know, I'll never be as good as or as great as he was, but, you know, I'm gonna try to be. So yeah.
And when you're googling, I'm look at some of the other stuff that's on that list after you look at the Hall of Fame. One of them that's really good, because he had a voice that you could just listen to for hours. Listen to someone thought it'd be funny. They just gave him a grocery list, and he just reads a grocery list, and it is one of the greatest things ever, because he makes a grocery list entertaining. It is awesome. It is one of the greatest things. He's literally watching a baseball game, reading a grocery list, and it is gold. So, like, it's just great. But Vince Scully will be deeply missed in baseball. It'd be great if they just bring him back for, like, one Saturday game a month or something. Just put him on Fox for, like, one Saturday game a month. That'd be awesome. But it won't happen. Well, damn. We got breaking news on Bench with Bubba episode 16. We got all kinds of good stuff, philosophy. Most importantly, we got Rome back on Bench with Bubba. Any last words from Mr. Rome?
Well, you know, first of all, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Brian, for having me on again, having me on again, Bubs. Yeah, you know, we'll, 2017 is going to be a great year. You know, we have a new president in the office. We have a lot of change coming, you know, with our nation, with our world. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, keep it positive and continue to try to make things, you know, better or greater. And yeah, and if there's anything else I can say, let's just try to, you know, do what we can do on a daily basis to try to make our society, make our world good, man. You know, just try to give back and try to treat people with respect. And, let's, yeah, man, you know, we got limited time on this earth, so let's have fun. Let's do it together.
That is what I'm talking about. Always positive, always happy, always entertaining, Rome. Rome, thanks for joining us again, man. We will definitely do it again sooner than later this time. Everybody, thanks for listening again. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 16. We will catch you guys next time.
Looking for a fun way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.